Howdy, I'm Grover Elliott, and I want to thank you for tuning in to The Warp and the Woof. This is episode 1.0, in part one of a series called Reconciliation. As this is the first episode of the podcast, I'm going to start at the beginning, covering the form, the function, and the objective of this podcast. But first, to help you decide if you're in the right place, this podcast is more about learning how to think rather than what to think. There are enough places out there that you can be told what to think. I mean, you can think, right? You don't need some anonymous Yahoo telling you what to think. Think for yourself. Is this podcast going to be political in nature? Well, it's not meant to be. But as everything seems to be tied to politics these days, it has to be to some extent. But the intent is to make life easier and less stressful for you. To bring people back together, or at least set the tone for it. Our contemporary political process seems to be having a tremendously negative effect, not only on our national family, but our personal families and friendships. In short, it's tearing the fabric of this country apart. We're pushed from every direction to instantly choose one way or the other. The internet doesn't help a bit. Whether it's social media or so-called news sources, we're pushed to make a rash decision, to take a side, one way or the other, never our own, on every little detail, national, local, or personal. Your social media account is filled with friends that will instantly agree with and confirm any stance you take, no matter how ludicrous or hate-filled or contrarian it might be. Go ahead, give it a try. Comment sections on serious subject matter and stories are filled with vitriol for or against with no real considerations, just pre-programmed responses. We're being manipulated and conditioned. The nuances of life and liberty are being lost. Lost forever if we don't do something to stop it. I said the intent of this podcast is to make life easier and less stressful for you. Well, let me give you a freebie right now before we go any further. Every election cycle, we're told that it's the last election between success for this country and total ruin, that this is the last chance to save our country from falling apart. I've been through a lot of election cycles in my life, and let me tell you, they say that every time, and yet every time we keep going. I'm not saying that who you choose to put in office isn't important. Certainly, there are differences between the parties and differences between the candidates, and you want to vote for and hopefully elect someone who shares your values. This can make a difference on your everyday life, on how you run your business, how you run your household, how much life costs to survive in this country. But these changes, no matter how big they are in the long run, are small on a day-to-day basis. You can take some of that stress off of you each election cycle by not being so caught up in the politics and the dire message of destruction that each of the candidates delivers to you. You can take that off of your shoulders and know that you're going to wake up the next morning, the day after the election, the sun's going to rise, the wind's going to blow, the birds are going to sing, and you're going to go to work, and it's going to be okay. It may not be exactly the way you want things. It may not be the right direction or the direction you want the country to move, but there's time. There's another chance, another day, another election. Don't let it control your emotions. Just relax. Sometimes you got to go with the flow. I don't want you to be scared about discussing politics or even the term politics. I'm not here to recruit you to one political party or another. I gave up on political parties decades ago. And my guess is that while listening to this podcast, one minute you're going to shout out, "Yeah, right on." And the next, you might accuse me of being a spineless hippie, while the next, a right-wing kook. Don't worry, that's just the point we've reached in this country. Fortunately, I'm not afraid to be an individual. I'm not going to tell you whether I'm a liberal or a conservative. I'll let you decide that. Besides, I don't really know what those terms mean anymore. I'm not sure we're guided by principles, but rather by reactions. Defend my guy, no matter what he says or does, or denigrate the other, no matter what she says or does. Does that make me sound like I'm middle of the road, undecided? Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, I quit watching the news several years ago in preparation for this project. I'd like to think I'm true to my principles. I don't allow others to define them, and I trust that you don't either, or at least you're tired of others trying. I used to belong to a gym that showed CNN and Fox News on these huge side-by-side televisions. They had the sound down, you couldn't hear anything, but you could watch the coverage. And you wouldn't know that they were covering the same two countries. I mean, they would pick and choose which stories to tell. Didn't even align with one another. Producers over on CNN would decide this is what our listeners and watchers need to know, and the ones over in Fox would do the same thing, picking and choosing. And when there was a big story that couldn't be avoided, and they both covered them, they covered them from such polar opposite directions that you wouldn't even know they were covering the same story. It was unbelievable, and it was so clear how manipulative both of them were. I hope that by the end of this podcast, you seriously and deeply question the direction of, well, the party you belong to or the sources where you get your news, no matter what your side you think you may be on. That being said, my intent is not to get down into the weeds and talk about House Bill this or executive privilege that. We're looking here at the bigger picture. To ease your mind or trepidation, let's define politics real quick. Politics is merely the science of a people's behavior and how to control it. Simple as that. In other words, politics is the study of how to A, affect how group members relate to one another, and B, learning how to control their behavior for any number of different goals. In other words, how the powers that be keep you where you are and keep themselves somewhere out of your reach. You might find any number of more academic or even noble definitions, but let's face it, those are poppycock. We know the truth. And if you're denying this definition of politics, well, you're probably a member of the national politic yourself. Let me give you another free tip for making your life easier and less stressful. And this goes out specifically to the younger listeners who are more active, more energetic, more passionate about causes, who like to protest and don't understand how the older generations don't get so excited about water conservation, about global warming, about alternative energies. Why don't the older generations get behind this and understand how the world is coming to an end? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because we've heard it all before, over and over and over. In my lifetime, the world was going to freeze. It was all going to ice over, and we were going to die in an ice age. And then that didn't happen. And then it became hurricanes, then earthquakes and tsunamis. And now it's global warming. I've been through this cycle over and over. And each time I'm told that I have to sacrifice, I have to turn down the heat and conserve coal oil, or I have to turn down my air conditioner and just deal with the world being hotter. I have to get rid of my vehicle because it's evil and destroying our planet. Now, if I point out that science actually says otherwise, I'm called a science denier, that I am not facing the bleak truth of our world and our impact on it. But when you live through these cycles long enough or enough times, you'll start noticing that the only one that has to sacrifice is you. The person asking you to do so, the person so concerned about saving the environment, saving the world from ourselves, be it a politician or an actor or a musician, well, they never seem to make the same sacrifices. If they're so concerned about it, why do they still fly in their Learjet or drive their vehicle? Why is that? Well, it's because they're not going to do anything that costs them anything personally. In fact, it goes deeper than that. When you dig deeply, you may find that not only are they not going to do anything that costs them something, but they may be making something from their claims. This is one of the very few times that I will ever quote Lenin. But ask yourself, who stands to gain? You may see that famous actor who admonishes you for using plastic water bottles because they're destroying the earth with their petroleum products. But you dig deeply enough and you find out that same actor owns an aluminum can company. Before you get too angry at the older generations, perhaps you should look more closely at the person who's manipulating you. Now, the form of the podcast, it's going to start off as monologues aimed at around 20 to 30 minutes. We will have guests later, but for the first part, it will be just you and me. I'm working heavily from notes at first because the first part of the podcast is covering some very specific information. It's going to be recorded in series, so listen to each episode in order. Each episode is going to cover specific subject matter, and I'm aiming for timelessness in nature on this first part. Now, the function. As I said, I'm not here to tell you what to think. There are plenty of places to go online or on the airwaves or television to be told what to think. I'm here to try to encourage you how to think for yourself. An audacious statement, I know. I mean, who am I to do such a thing? Nobody, really. I don't make the claim that I'm going to teach you to think for yourself lightly. So what makes me think that I can? Am I more intelligent than you? Absolutely not. Am I smarter than you? You better hope not, because I really don't know that much. Was there a qualification test? I hadn't learned how to produce a podcast. I'm not an academic, a philosopher, an expert, a scientist, a prophet, or a saint. I'm just a guy named Grover. So what's the source of my hubris in thinking that I can teach you how to think for yourself? Well, people tell me I have a knack for breaking complex concepts down to basic, simple truths. My friends tell me I'm quite simple-minded. I'll let you be the judge of me. But I want to use this capacity to work on how we think. The objective, in a word, reconciliation. This is defined as the restoration of friendly relations. It indicates more than one person or group of people. But who? Well, I'm not really sure. I mean, not you and me, because we don't really know each other. And not our neighbors or our friends or even our families, because I don't think we really know them anymore either. And yet there's a good chance in this day and age that we don't like one another. But I pray we will by the end of it. Look, if you've even been half awake in the United States the last few years, you realize that the schism that has always existed between us and them, between we and the powers that be, has become just the right and the left, as defined by, well, who? I'm not sure, but not us. No, we've all been convinced that it's left or right, good or evil, red or blue, this way or that. And Dr. Seuss might point out that the this's and the that's do not get along, ever, because there are those who gain and maintain their power by making sure the this's and that's never do get along. Ending that is our objective. I'm not obtuse enough to think we've always seen eye to eye as a nation. We went through a revolution without complete buy-in. 20 years later, we had to defend ourselves again without complete buy-in. 20 years after that, we were into it with ourselves. That nearly destroyed us, but we eventually rebuilt. Then we got mired down in internationalism versus isolationism, only to pit capitalism against communism and socialism and cronyism, 90% income tax rates, the Vietnam War, disco, for God's sake. We've had our differences and problems, to be sure, but we've made it through. So what's the difference this time? Well, today, I fear we're reaching a point of no return. We're approaching the point where the fabric of the nation disintegrates rather than getting torn. One can mend a tear, after all. And that's where the warp and the woof comes in. Warp and woof are textile terms. They are the threads in a woven fabric that create the texture you feel, the threads going up and down and side to side. If these threads dissolve, well, your cloth disappears. If they fight one another, then you have no cloth at all. They have to work together to be interwoven, to create the whole cloth that is our world and our society. What makes me think I can stop this current rending of our national fabric? Well, nothing really. There's no rational thought that convinces me that I alone stand in the way between disillusion and reconciliation. But I have to try. I have to try to do something. We all do. So here we are. To be sure, I don't have any more power than you do, and that's troubling. We the people are supposed to hold all of the power, but divided, we hold none. We're so concerned about the that's and this's that we've lost control over them, the powers that be. So how do we fix this? Well, I'm not sure of that either, but that's the first objective of this podcast, reconciliation. We can't be divided and be in control. To get that power back, to reconcile our rightful position, we are going to have to understand this country, or at least what it is supposed to be. And we're going to have to figure out how that relates to us as individuals and how we relate to it. To do that, we're going to have to start by understanding ourselves as individuals. And that is precisely where we're going to start with part one. I am, therefore, I think. I don't know, a little play on Descartes' essay, but I want you to take the title seriously. You exist, and so you think. You must. And you have to believe yourself capable. Too many of us are relying on others to think for us, for news sources or politicians to analyze data and tell us what to think. Consider how much of the seed of the discontent between groups in this country, between you and others, between the this's and that's, was placed in your head by someone else, and not for noble reasons. You're being controlled. You're being manipulated. We all are. Not foil hat black helicopter control. I'm talking about psychological control by people who, quite frankly, don't deserve the credit. It should anger you to realize just how much your emotions and opinions are controlled by others on a daily, even hourly basis. Am I getting up your ire? Am I making you angry? No, sorry, I'm not trying to control your emotions, but this section will require homework on your part. And it may take you quite a while and a lot of energy and concentration, but it's extremely important. I want you to sit in a quiet place and engage in some earnest introspection. Your task is to come up with a list of 10 things, phrases, bullet statements, complete sentences if you choose, 10 things that describe you as a person, a being, an individual. Think if someone were to come up to you and ask you who you are, beyond just what they can see, who you are, what you stand for, what would you say? I'm going to get you started by telling you my list and explaining each over the next few episodes of the podcast. I don't expect your answers to be the same as mine. In fact, I hope they aren't. Otherwise, we'd make a pretty boring dinner party. And don't get consumed by the differences. It's okay that we think of ourselves differently. You have every right to think of yourself any way you wish, as do I. There are no right or wrong answers here, not if they come from you. But this will give you an idea of how to dig, how to look for your defining qualities, how to think about yourself. See what I did there? Not what to think about yourself, but how to think about yourself. For our assignment, at the top of my page, I've written, I am. Following that, I have the numbers 1 through 10 listed. If I didn't mention it before, you will need to prioritize these 10 declarations, these defining characteristics, in the order of importance, how they relate to one another in defining your character. My 10 are as follows. I am, 1, an individual. This probably says more about what I'm not than what I am. 2, a Christian. Don't be scared here. This is not a religious podcast, but my faith is part of who I am. Think of a religion as a set of principles and guidelines for living life, rules that are extrinsic from societal laws. 3, I am a husband. I'm a partner in my personal life, having ceded some control of my life, but also taken on some control of another's life. 4, I'm a father. I am responsible for children who had no part in coming into this world, a fact that lays no small burden at my feet. 5, I'm a, let's just say, a citizen of my state. It doesn't matter where. I think we identify with the state where we learned history in school. My formative years were spent growing up in Texas. Now, if your immediate response was, ah, red stater, in the positive or the negative, that is exactly what we're here battling. So try to put that thought out of your mind. I'll help you as we go along. And by the way, I don't even currently live there. I've lived in several different states, but I can't deny the effect that growing up in Texas had on my worldview or my personality. I've lived in several states, visited almost all of the others, and I've found wonderful people and experiences in all of them. And I had the opportunity to travel to other countries, which I enjoyed immensely. 6, I'm an American. Being raised an American is a unique experience that brings with it a certain set of ingrained values and principles, as does being born anywhere else on earth. If you were raised elsewhere, then you have a different perspective, and that's okay. And if you immigrated to America by choice, you likely have different appreciations for this country than I have, likely deeply and seriously rooted. 7, I'm a businessman. I work and I employ people. I'm an active part of this economy that provides me some insight into how things actually work. And sadly, it puts me squarely at odds with a growing number of people and self-destructive ideologies in this country. 8, I'm a man. Although I'm biologically male, I don't think of myself in those clinical terms, I'm a man with everything that goes along with that, my definition of that. 9, I'm a Boy Scout, or at least I was. I know that may raise some possible negative connotations in this day and age, or it may sound like I'm trying to raise myself above others. No, it's not the case. I wasn't an Eagle Scout or even an especially good scout. But the Boy Scouts taught me some basic values that guide me to this day, that shape who I am and how I behave. 10, I'm a human being. I'm not alone on this planet, and that goes in two directions. There are always others to turn to for help, and I must be ready to help when it is needed. There is comfort and responsibility in that. One isn't available without the other. Now, I could probably throw my school allegiance in there. My college experience did affect me. Or the fact that I'm white or something like that. Or perhaps you are a veteran or a doctor. Anything that really guides the way you act, your behavior that shapes you, that's what you're looking for. You're going to need to sit quietly and think about that. Come up with your 10 defining characteristics. Now, moving forward, we're going to explore each one of mine to help you come up with your own list. I hope you join me for episode 1.1, I Am an Individual. And I hope that you turn someone else onto this series, not for my financial gain, hey, more downloads just cost me more money. But in order for us to reach our objective of reconciliation, now get to work on defining who you are and join me for episode 1.1. I am an individual.